You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month, Friday, March 2nd. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are here with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. We welcome your telephone calls this afternoon for Jim and Carol. Give us a telephone call with your questions about dogs. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. Good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Good to see you, Celeste,
and
as usual.
How is everyone, and how are the dogs? Jim, out at Poker Flats, how are
the
males?
We're missing the snow. The snow's melting. I'm melting! And ugliness of the yard is becoming manifest as the snow melts away.
Yeah, there's that thing.
But it's nice and muddy out there.
Dog people like things hidden under the snow.
Gee, doesn't it look beautiful? Yes.
Well, we'll get a little more this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get a little more, and then we can just pretend for another couple
another
days that
couple
we don't
days.
Have to deal with that some point down the road. But
and Carol, how's...
They're sick of the snow. They hate the snow because it's not fun snow now. It's crusty, harsh snow and ice and... They're tired of it, and I can't walk them because I tore the ligaments in my ankle, so I haven't been able to walk them.
That wasn't very smart.
No, and I can't walk on the snow anyway, so they haven't been walked.
Suppose
oh, sorry. I was reading the paper.
Carol's reading the paper.
I haven't been able to walk them for...
She has other things to do while she's here. It's very busy.
I haven't walked them for a couple of weeks in the evening, and now they've given up asking and just look at me. But I can't hurt it again. So soon enough, it'll just be a memory.
Yeah. Carol has a golden and a doodle.
Flapdoodle.
Golden doodle and a golden retriever.
And a golden retriever. And Jim and Robin have... Malamutes.
We have a mixed breed little guy, too.
Do you?
Yeah. Little Speckles.
Speckles. Now, you've had him for a little while, haven't you?
Yes, several years. He's of unknown origin. We bred all the others.
Yeah. So. How does Speckles fare with all the others?
You know, I made a mistake and let him in with Oz, out with Oz in the backyard. Oz was convinced that the other girl that Speckles usually runs with was... at least as attracted to him as he was to her. Speckles kept jumping on Oz's back, and it's like the Borg. It was like Oz didn't even care. Go ahead, bite me. I don't care. You're just a little fly, something that I pay no attention to.
Yeah.
And he didn't even look at Speckles. Speckles was kind of deflated, I think, by the whole thing. But there was no violence, so I was happy.
Yeah. So what's happening at the club these days?
Well,
ooh, big stuff.
Big. I'm going to let Jim talk
super
about
big.
This because he is
it's
one
so
of the...
It's so big.
It's huge. It's enormous.
I was going through club papers several months ago that I keep under my desk and look at from time to time. And I noticed our incorporation papers, we were incorporated on March 9th, 1977. I was a math major, as you probably know, and I quickly concluded that we were coming up on our 30th anniversary. So I sent an email to the list, and everybody became extremely excited. So this weekend, although it's a little bit early, we're having a gala at somebody's house celebrating our 30th anniversary. Hmm. 30 years of Dog Training Club. Actually, the group...
They're all in their 30s and 40s, so it's really remarkable.
The core group, yeah. Strange to say, you know, the club started before many of our members were born. Kind of odd to have an organization like this lasting this long and being as successful as we are.
Yeah.
People all over admire us.
Yeah. Have a large membership.
Really nice facility.
Very nice facility.
We there started out with no facility.
Yeah.
When Sunnycrest was being built, they let us come in and have our classes and train our dogs, even though there were no walls or no ceiling. We trained at the IGA in Mahomet when it closed, and it's gone. The building's long gone. Where did we train in Char Francis's warehouse for a long time? So, yeah, and then we bought a modest building up north of Urbana and stayed there for about 20 years. So, 25 years, I guess. So, we've been around. But the core group actually got together years before we actually decided to become a formal club. But using the bureaucratic date that's stamped on our incorporation papers, it's as good a day as any, I guess.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, it's happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
It is pretty nice. There was a, I had a woman that attended class on Monday night and from New York. And she was just
where?
New York. Did I say New York?
Yeah.
New York.
I thought you said New York, but I.
But she was pretty amazed at the facility that we have. So we've been in there three years
kind of
now.
A small state, provincial area, New York.
Haven't we been in there 3 years? I think it'd be
since
3 years.
Since Auten 2. So what's that?
Oh, my.
Five.
Going on five.
See?
Well, we started building it in 02.
Yeah.
I don't know when we might have gotten in.
Yeah. But it 02. Is. It's a really very nice facility. We're proud of it.
When does the next round of classes start and what's coming up?
Soon. Next week is the last week.
I have 2 more weeks of class left.
You have
left.
2? Mm-hmm. How did you have 2?
I have 10-week class.
Oh.
The others are 9. So I have 2 weeks. Some around the 1st of April.
How are you
I
hobbling
think.
Around in the class with that foot?
I only missed the one night that I did it, the night after I did it.
You got that kicking the dogs? How did you?
No. Walking the dogs, and I stepped on the parkway. I did this in November, so then it wasn't quite healed. And I just turned it on a crusty patch of ice and snow and just turned the ankle. I mean, just turned it. But I had to walk home about a mile, so it was huge.
So now what are you doing with the dogs so that they get some exercise and play time?
Oh, I put a note out to our list a week ago or so. We play Find It, which, you know, they have to. They're on a sit stay, and then I hide treats. But they cheat. They watch.
They use their nose.
They watch where I'm going, and it's so funny because they know they're not supposed to. So I put them in the kitchen on a sit stay, and then I'll run off into the living room and or the stairs or the bedroom, and they're creeping behind me, and you can't yell at them. It's so funny because they know what I'm doing. And so they want to watch.
This from a dog trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know everything that
they
you
know.
Need.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun
you have
game.
Perfect communication with these
but
animals.
I can look back in there and I see, no, you go back in the kitchen and sit and stay. Well, you know, it's entertaining for the three of us. So we play that. We play some ball in the house, you know, throw the tennis ball down the hallway.
Those Sudoku puzzles are a lot of fun.
I was going to say. But, you know, and I'm fortunate.
Our dog eats them.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I gave him one and he ate it.
They've been really, you know, pretty good about the fact that they're not getting their normal exercise. And I found I found some of Robbie's treat dispenser toys from when he was a puppy. And you should have those out all the time because they get a kick out of those. And they roll them and the treats fall out. And so that uses up some energy. I buy them raw bones. They enjoy that. But there's really no good substitute for
right. Exercise
and putting them out in the yard. Sure, when the snow was nice and fresh and fluffy, then it was fun. But
and
now
a low
it's
salt,
like,
low fat diet too.
Yeah,
like the French.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you do have to watch their intake, their caloric intake. So anyway, so I'm anxious for the snow to be gone and get back out and walk.
I wish there was more snow.
It's just so unpleasant right now.
Well, with the mud, yeah. Yesterday, I think it was, before the winds came, the mud
and that temperature drop,
just and you let a group of dogs out, and they come back. They go out nice and gray and white and clean, and they come back kind of
filthy.
Gray, dull color.
Filthy.
Yeah, and you say, is this a dog? What is this?
Yeah, and then you know you're in store for that for a while.
Well, they come in the house, and they all shake.
Oh, man.
And so it gets pretty icky.
It gets pretty gruesome. But, you know, it's all part of it.
Let dogs in.
That's
let
why
dogs
they
out.
Invented vacuum cleaners and steam cleaners.
Is that why?
That's
so
one of the reasons.
So people can clean up after their
so
dogs.
You clean up after them because, you know, it's just it doesn't bother me. Oh, sometimes it does get a trifle annoying. You know, if you've just washed the floor and there's a million footprints all over. But, you know,
it's more when they jump up and put their paws on your
shoulders.
Well, it's got to be tough if you've got more than one. With one, you can kind of... With our dog, when we were kids, you could she would stand for you and you'd pick up a paw at a time and clean her off. But with more than one, what are you going
to
do?
I just put rugs down at the entryway to the backyard and hope that catches
some of
it.
Cover the furniture with sheets.
Yeah, it's just one of those little facts of life that you have to deal with.
Vacuuming to the weekend.
You just put it in. Yes, because they're shedding.
There's no point.
they're shedding now because of the length of day so it's just like, this is the way it goes.
Owning dogs is so awful. Why does anyone do it?
I was just thinking, people who are listening in the audience this afternoon thinking, I think we'd like to get a dog.
Yeah, but
hearing this
maybe
that's giving.
But it's like having a baby and not realizing you have to change a diaper. I guess it's kind of the same analogy that goes along with it.
Questions about dogs are welcome this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this afternoon, and they can answer your questions about caring for dogs, dog behavior, dog training. Give us a call and. Talk to Jim and Carol. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. So did you ever tell us what classes are coming up?
No.
No, I guess did we get sidetracked?
We did.
Oh, my goodness.
Big time.
In about 2 weeks.
In about 2 weeks.
I think. Why don't you Google us?
Check.
Yeah.
No,
we're just instructors.
My last class is next week.
And I've got one beyond that.
And you have one. And then the CGC test will probably be a week after that.
I think it's March.
So probably 21st, in 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, we'll be starting the cycle all over again.
April-ish.
Okay.
End of March, 1st of April.
What do you say? Put your headphones on and we'll talk with a listener.
Probably somebody telling us when our classes start.
Maybe. Yeah. A caller on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Hi, Celeste. This is Valerie. How are you?
Hi, Val. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question about Mac, our little Cairn Terrier.
Uh-huh.
He's two, and any time we take him in the car riding and he sees people, he wants so much love and attention. He cries. He shakes. I mean, he wants so much attention from people, and it's not like we give him so much love. He's so spoiled, but when we take him out, it's almost like, oh, these people don't even ever love me, you know? I mean, and it gets to the point where he's almost neurotic about it, crying. I was holding him, and he was crying, looking at the people from one to the other, and he was actually shaking.
What people?
So...
People outside
the
car?
Street, oh, okay. People, you know, we went down on campus and anybody, I think he'd just go off with anybody.
Think he's just excited, don't you, Jim?
Well, it could be. Probably he's excited to see the people, and it could very well be that he wants to go up and greet them and he's frustrated because he can't.
Right.
That'd be a tough thing to train out.
I know.
But what comes to my mind immediately is distraction. I wouldn't hold him in my lap. Especially if you're driving.
No, I don't.
No, you're not. Okay.
No, I was riding.
Yeah. If dogs have the same problem.
He has to see everything.
Well, it depends. Carol was talking about the toys that you put kibble or cheese or anything in. And I would keep him in the back seat for safety reasons.
Okay.
If you're probably belted in, but
right.
if you come to a sudden stop or if somebody hits you or something, the little guy is going to go flying.
Right.
And it's not the flying through the air that hurts; it's the sudden stop.
Okay.
So what you want him is the safest thing is maybe if he rode in a crate or something.
Right.
But short of that. I'd put them in the back. Their harnesses. I've never used one of those, but I've seen them. But I would try to keep him in a secure place if you're riding in a car.
Right.
But the other thing is give him a bone, you know, something like that. And if it doesn't work at first, keep raising the stakes.
Okay.
Maybe to steak. He might like to eat a steak while you're driving along, and that but that will keep him a little calmer, I think.
Right.
He won't.
I just wonder, you know, do you think he would make like a good, what do they call it, like to go to senior nursing homes and
a therapy dog?
Yeah, yeah. Because he loves people so much, and especially little kids. He just loves little kids.
Every so often, there's a group that is coordinated with our club, but not part of club. Many of the members are in both, that give what are called TDI tests. And I forgot, Therapy Dog International, I think, is the organization or incorporated.
Okay.
I don't know when they do that, Carol.
Actually, it should be on our website when they're going to conduct those. Okay. They do it about two or three times a year, maybe twice a year.
Most nursing homes won't let you bring a dog unless they've gone through these classes have passed the test.
Okay.
But obviously, number one consideration, you want a dog that likes people.
Right.
So he's a good candidate. But I used to do that years ago before they had these requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take the gentlest dogs we could, and it worked out pretty well. But it's very rewarding, very time consuming. But nowadays, these darn lawyers make all these requirements, and
Jim happens to be a member of that fraternity.
So you've got to go through this stuff and get certified, but you might find it to be a lot of fun.
Website.
Sure.
Well, I think about him, you know, that maybe that would help him if he's out there, you know, meeting.
Yeah, he'll get his fill of people. That's for sure.
He sure will. Well, thank you. I sure enjoy your show.
Thanks,
Val.
You're welcome.
Nice to talk with you. Let's talk with another listener, caller in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi, this is Mark Allen. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. How are you?
I just wanted to say hi to Carol and Jim, and congratulations on 30 years. We are brand new dog owners, and we are taking a class right now with Carol. And I just
Mark.
Hi, Carol.
Carol just woke up.
You and the club for what an incredible job you do. We're brand new dog owners, and it's been a challenge, especially with our dog, who's very. Carol, how would you say, rambunctious, I guess?
Lively. How about lively?
Lively. There
Lively's
you go.
Good.
But, I did want to let you know, classes do start on April 2nd.
Oh, thank you.
We knew it was somewhere around there.
And, I would be interested to know if you are having the beginning classes again starting up April 2nd as well.
Oh, we will be.
Well. Okay, great. Good. So that's all I wanted to say, and thanks. Oh, and your previous caller, we do have a harness for our lab mix, and she does great in the harness, and it seems to help, and we do use some of those toys in the back seat, and she loves it.
Oh, that's a good. Thanks, Mark.
I'm just worried about dogs that are in laps.
You
don't have to be in an accident. You just stop suddenly, and the dog, you know, goes and gets hurt.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other questions, comments are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And my mom used a harness in the front seat, and it worked really well. And the dog was very well, handled it beautifully. The dog performed.
Yeah, they want to go with you matter what.
They
so if they're going to be
and,
in their own seatbelt, they're happy as long as they get to go with you.
A crate in the back is a good idea, too.
If you've got a vehicle that accommodates a crate, a sedan wouldn't. So,
it's a little harder.
Yeah, having
Robin was in an accident. She rolled a minivan.
I remember that.
Yeah, she had two dogs in the back, but they were both in crates. They were totally unhurt. The car was totaled, and Robin was slightly injured. But I'm convinced if the dogs hadn't been in a crate or something like that, they would have been seriously hurt.
Yeah. Speaking of harnesses, maybe we could talk a little bit about leashes, because we don't have anybody waiting to talk with us at the moment.
A new leash on life?
Yeah, exactly.
A new leash on death. That's Susan Conant, murder mystery.
I didn't know that.
So
she writes about male abuse.
Leashes,
that's what I mentioned.
Starting off...
The best leash to have is a leather lead.
Okay.
The chain ones they sell are worthless.
Well, it's not that they're worthless. They hurt your hands.
The nylon ones never get very pliable. So a nice leather leash.
Well, the flat nylon ones don't.
Right. But the round braided ones.
The round, not necessarily braided, they have these round kind of soft nylon.
I've got those.
Things that we've got several of them, and they have no, they don't attach to a collar. They kind of loop around and are adjusting at the end. I think those are wonderful, not for training.
Just for moving
for
them
moving
around.
Dog. Mm-hmm. And you can adjust them so they don't tighten all the way. And but they're very easy on the hands. That's my first consideration. Leather is good because it's soft and pliable. If the dog pulls suddenly with a chain or with a flat nylon, I've had skin taken off my hands because the dog takes off. Ah! And with that won't usually happen with leather. And these soft things are just wonderful. We did not have those 30 years ago, those soft things.
They're nice. They're nice leads.
I'll tell you, the other nice lead is a flexi lead, brought to us with German technology. But it's a lead. It's a
retractable.
Retractable. Mm-hmm. And it can go out, they measure it in meters, but maybe 25 feet.
You can get burned on those, though. I did last year.
Well, don't. Yeah, that's why they have handles.
Yeah. Andy saw a rabbit, and she was over on my left side and ran around behind me to the right. And I had capris or shorts on. Mm-hmm. It burned. It just cut through me. It hurt. But that's only one. That's the only drawback. Or if you drop them, that's a drawback.
If you're not a klutz, they're really great things to have. If you're not falling and breaking your ankle, then.
Yeah, but I always walk Robbie on a flexi. Always.
It gives the dogs a lot of freedom. And yet they're still under control. It takes a little while and a little finesse to learn how to use them because they retract and go in and out.
And you can have a braking mechanism on them.
There is. And you can't, do not have a friend unhook the dog for you because inevitably they let go and the thing sails back.
So then you get that piece in your knuckles, which has happened to me too. So.
Now what about a training lead?
For training purposes, standard
6 foot lead,
six foot lead, and a collar of your choice. I prefer the what it's called choke collar. I like to call it a correction collar,
slip collar. I use a gentle leader on Andy, or you can use a regular collar, you know, leather collar.
What's a gentle leader?
The gentle leader is a head halter.
It's like a horse halter.
Yeah, it goes around the nose and up behind the ears, and there's a little attachment device at the bottom of their chin, and it works exceedingly well for me. It doesn't always work for everybody, but it works very well for me.
I always say, if they called it the canine neck wrencher,
now see, Jim doesn't like
them.
They'd
never sell any, so they call it the gentle leader.
Jim doesn't like them. I like them because she's tractable. She's manageable on that. She pulls. She chases rabbits. And that just doesn't, you know, work for me. Mm-hmm. She works beautifully on her gentle leader, and to her, you know, it's the keys to the outdoors. That means we're going someplace, so I like them.
What do you say we talk with a couple of other listeners? Next we go to a listener in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
A couple comments and then a question. First, it's nice that you're having the classes on April 2nd rather than April Fool's Day, which would be the first. Did you see the article about the FDA approves the first drug for obese dogs? I think that's...
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
So, I don't know. That doesn't seem... But anyway, what I have a question. I'm actually a dog owner, but I was going for a walk, I don't know, maybe about a month ago or so, and it was dark and coming toward me and didn't quite realize that that point was a Great Dane. And lovely dog, and of course, unfavorable toward dogs, and for some reason, the owner said, I pet it and was really happy, and then it was sort of whining because it wanted more attention, which I thought was pleasant, but wanted to smell your breath or something or other. Is that...
He wanted to smell your breath?
Yeah.
Well, they have the advantage of being able to be that high. I guess they could do it.
Well, but what's sort of, from a dog character, What does that do, or what is it? Or
I don't.
I think you wanted to see your face, smell your face.
Yeah, it could be totally unrelated to your breath. It's not impossible, though. A wolf characteristic, which dogs have kind of inherited, is the wolves will feed their puppies after they've been weaned by going out, eating, coming back, and throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is stimulated by the puppies licking the adults around their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that will cause the adults to regurgitate.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that this dog was inadvertently trained to jump up and kind of put his nose by your mouth just to see what you've had to eat and to see if he might want some. But, I mean, it's kind of a normal canine behavior. It's not all that unusual. But I don't really think he's smelling your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, hey, have you been drinking, buddy? Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was a pleasant experience.
Yeah, well,
they learn a lot about us by sniffing our face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call from a listener in Hayworth on line two. Hi.
Hi. Help, help.
Distress.
I have a very good friend who has asked me to babysit her beloved, huge Doberman, Alex, whom I love, in my house for 2 to 3 weeks while she goes to Birmingham to look for a job and a dog-friendly apartment. I'm 63, and I live with my 92-year-old dad on a farm here in Hayworth. Okay, any advice you can give me would be helpful, but I'd like to ask a couple of accompanying questions. One is, would the dog actually possibly be happier in a boarded? I don't know about things like that. And then thirdly, would it be possible for her to take, this is the idea I just got this morning, to take the dog to Birmingham and board it there and then, like, go visit it every day or take it out with her in a car and bring it back at night and that sort of thing?
That's not a bad idea. My secretary just yesterday is going to Chicago helping people move and wanted to know some recommendations for boarding places. Why don't you just take the dog with you?
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So your idea is not bad. I don't.
Now, has a very low income, you know, and the expense is an issue. And I don't know if it would be better for me to take the dog here. And I do love the dog, but it's a little daunting, the thought of all of that.
Well, 3 weeks of boarding is going to be extraordinarily
expensive.
She'll
need two jobs in order to pay for it all.
It's going to cost a lot.
Yeah.
Does she know that you have some reservations about this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We laughed about it last night.
Yeah.
What kind of reservations do you have?
Well, it's a really big dog.
How old is it?
It's frisky. It's about 6 or 7 years old. It kind of likes to jump around on you.
I think you'll be surprised.
Once
he kind of settles in, and it won't take long, a dog that size and that age will probably lay around the house most of the time.
Really?
You see a frisky dog because you go over to her place or she comes over, but it's brief visits, an hour or two, and the dog's excited to see you.
Right.
And no offense, but after it's seen you for a couple of days, the excitement is going to wear off.
Well, I am not offended at all.
Yeah, and then the dog is going to find a place maybe in the kitchen near you or the living room near you or wherever you hang out, and we'll just find the warmest place, I'm going to guess, with a dobe. The Malamutes always find the coolest place, but they'll curl up there. Not surprisingly, but the bigger the dog is, the less active they are. Little dogs, in my experience, run from one end of the house to the other all day. The bigger dogs go, well, I think I'm going to go to sleep. The Malamutes sleep all day.
So you're suggesting if I gave this dog plenty of exercise.
Well, is your yard fenced?
No.
Oh, so you've got to walk
him. The dog comes out here and plays from time to time, you know, frisky and things, frisbee, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, if he gets a normal amount, it doesn't have to be extraordinary. But I think once he kind of adjusts to you, it's a little harder for guard dogs that are very territorial to adjust. But Dobermans seem to do it pretty well. And
And what if the dog, like, the dog and she are, you know, beautifully bonded, and is there any psychological thing? I mean, the dog will miss her.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll miss her, but he's not going to bay at the moon all night or anything like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he may go to the window and look longingly out, waiting for her to come back.
You might want to keep him for a day or two before she embarks on this three-week mm-hmm. trip, so he realizes that she'll come back.
She should also leave an old coat or piece
of... could bring his, like, blanket and things like that.
Something of hers, too.
Something of hers so he can sniff it and,
okay.
you know, just... But, you know, it seems to soothe dogs.
If you saw her last night, say, pick up the phone, say, hey, why don't you bring him over here tonight and then pick him up tomorrow morning? Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
And then he'll know, she'll come back, and then you'll know if you're capable of doing this. Because I'd hate to have her think, okay, you're going to take care of him for 2 or 3 weeks and she's on her way and you are, like, sitting there counting down the minutes until those 3 weeks are over. Because that's not, that, you know, you should try this first before
exactly.
you commit to it.
We don't know the dog. He might be so distraught that he runs back and forth all day like a little dog, and that would be bad.
Well,
my guess is that he
won't.
I don't
think that would be the case.
Yeah, I don't think, Dobermans generally are not like that, but individual dogs, of course, vary quite a bit.
One other thought, when your friend goes to Birmingham, where is she going to stay?
Well, she's staying with a friend.
Oh, okay.
There, but the friend won't let her bring the
Sure, I gotcha.
What kind of friend is that?
A friend that doesn't like dogs.
Who's the real friend here?
Me.
Hayward. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. If you'd like to talk with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm, anywhere else, toll free 800-222-9455. I was thinking that, you know, some hotels, motels will let you take an animal. You usually have to pay a deposit or something. But
We tend to worry more about their mental and psychological well-being while we're gone than they do. Many times it's almost ruined a trip for me because I've read about it so much.
Bad.
And then once they're where they are and I'm on my way, then, hey, you know, they will survive.
Yeah.
And make sure they get good care so they'll be all right.
My brother has a dog and he says that the dog loves to go to the kennel. Which, you know,
it's good.
He kennels very well. And my brother felt a little
miffed.
Yeah.
Hurt.
What's the afternoon cocktails and the cable and TiVo? That
poor Jim and Robin. What would you do if you had to board all your dogs when you went away on vacation?
Well, I did a cautionary tale as we went dog sledding last week and took about 11 dogs for various reasons. We usually take 15. We had a little girl in heat, unfortunately, and Tommy bloated.
No.
Yeah, Tommy had to stay home. He's the old guy. He's the house dog.
He's the white dog.
Mm-hmm,
and he's like 12 years old, and he had to go with the riffraff out in the kennels. And I don't think he liked it, but he bloated. And fortunately, our dog sitter was there and
knew what to do.
When dogs go and are boarded, they're under a lot of stress. And here, Tommy was under a lot of stress because of the girl and not being in the house where he wanted to be, I think. I mean, he didn't tell me or anything. He's okay. He made it through. But, you know, we're 500 miles away in the middle of nowhere with very bad cell phone reception trying to deal with these people. And it wasn't a lot of fun. And so if you have a dog and you think you're going to be boarding it, do what Carol suggested. Take it, find a boarding place that is recommended, and just board it overnight for no particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
It'll teach the dog you're coming back. You can see what kind of stressors it's under. If an emergency comes up, you're there. It's a little bit expensive, so... If you're rich, you can do that, but it's not a bad idea.
Let's take another call. A listener on a cell phone, line one. Hi.
Hi. I recently got a new dog. I had to put my boxer to sleep, and I got a lab mix. And this dog is a retriever, and she retrieves everything. And I really want to know what to do. I mean, part of it's a game because she knows that I'm going to try to get it away from her. But what do I do to discourage her from doing this? When she gets something I don't want her to do. By the way, it's making me a lot neater.
I had a dog that used to tear up my shirts if I left them on the floor lying around. And after losing about 10 shirts, I said, oh, I better hang them up.
Oh, okay. Well, mine doesn't do that. She just drags them and brings them to me.
Does she destroy these items or does she just carry them?
Oh, she carries them. Now, eventually, I think if I didn't take them away from her, she might destroy them.
I don't know. I don't think she will. A dog that's going to be destructive would just, rip into it right off the bat more than likely. And she is a Labrador Retriever.
And she's a lovable dog.
Oh, sure, but they are lovable, but they carry things. I mean, that's what they were bred to do, is carry and bring things back to you.
Do you have a lot of toys for the dog?
Oh, yeah.
And she, what is it she's picking up?
When I had her about 2 days, she picked my glasses off my end table and destroyed them, which I needed new ones anyway, but still. But she'll go and she picked up a box off my dresser today. It was empty. It was a jewelry box, and it was just fit in her mouth. And she didn't do anything with it except put it in her mouth.
Yeah. So
she did take a knife off the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And held it with the wooden handle in her mouth and the other part sticking out.
See, there's not a day that goes by in my house because I have a retriever and a retriever mix.
Yeah.
That they don't bring out the remote control from the bedroom or one of my hair brushes.
That would be a sin around my house.
Yeah.
That remote down.
But they don't do anything to them. They do it because, number one, they like to carry things around. And number two, it's attention-provoking because then I give them a treat to retrieve my own item from them. So it's kind of a game with us. I don't get upset and scream and yell. I did get upset. What did Andy bring out? Oh, it was one of those lipsticks that you brush on.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then the trip from the bedroom or wherever to the bathroom to the kitchen, the bottom fell off. So she had, lipstick all over her face. I thought she was bleeding to death, and it got on the carpeting. But then I thought, well, she doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
How silly. I just live with it, personally.
Yeah, one problem you have is retrieving is fine. It's retrieving certain things. And I've been trying to think, well, what could you do to stop the dog from retrieving? And unfortunately, they would stop the dog from retrieving, and that's not what you want.
Yeah.
You want them to stop retrieving your stuff. It may be that this will stop after a while. The items you mention are kind of personal to you, and the dog in some way might have an odor of you, and it's trying to bring you things that it thinks you would like. Who knows what goes on in the dog's mind?
Yeah.
She knew she needed new glasses, so that was one way to handle that problem.
Well, I did need new glasses.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
I was a little upset.
Yeah, well,
those things, because they can hurt themselves on those items, too.
Yeah.
All I can think to do is there are these toys that have food in them, or you can put food in them, and you might get some of those, and if the dog starts to retrieve it, you don't necessarily want to take the things away from them, all right? You might try something like drop or out.
Exchange. You want to make an exchange. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got my remote control in your mouth. Well, I don't want you to have that, but I'm going to give you something, so you give that up. So it's not so much, it's not punitive any longer. It becomes an exchange between the two of you.
Which doesn't mean
it's not going to eliminate that habit, but it's going to make it more pleasant for both of you.
I couldn't eliminate the habit.
Yeah.
If there's something I don't want her to get, I have a habit of saying no and reaching for it.
Say leave it. Give it a more specific name. No is too generic.
Okay.
Say leave it.
Well, I haven't had her to training classes yet, so.
Yeah. And don't reach for it. Walk around with cookies on you, and whenever she does that, throw the cookie in the other direction. then she'll.
Yeah.
Which is what, if the Malamutes start to pick up things that are either disgusting or they shouldn't pick up, I always have cookies on me. I throw it so that they see it. I mean, it's not a secret. And
now,
I throw
when
it.
You say cookies, what do you mean?
Dog biscuits.
Oh. Little ones. And use little ones so they, you know, don't get a big, giant milk bone.
Yeah.
Just little soft treats.
They're maybe an inch long. Dogs love them.
Okay.
Generic. You can buy them by the pound.
Okay.
And you just toss it the other way, and the dog goes, oh, boy, a treat, and then reach for it. Because if she's going for it and you're reaching for it, she thinks it has value.
Yeah, yeah. And,
which, of course, it does. But,
well,
which it does,
yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, good luck, and call us back next month or the month after and tell us how things are going. Let's take another call, one last call this afternoon. Listener in Champaign, line 2. Hi.
Hi. Carol, Jim, this is Lisa. How are you?
We're fine.
Oh, I know why Lisa's calling.
Yes, Lisa's like, I heard you talking with the previous caller about the TDI test.
Right, right.
Yes, and what I wanted to kind of let her know, and I guess let everyone know, that I am no longer a TDI evaluator.
Right.
So we probably won't be doing the TDI testing at the club.
Right.
However, if she is interested, if she'll just go, or anyone, we'll go to the Dog Training Club list, our email address, and send me an email. You know, it'll get forwarded to me, and I can tell her what we're doing with Canine Connection, because
right.
we are doing testing with that. And the other thing she might want to think about, just as a preparation for a TDI test, she might want to come out and go through the CGC test in March. That would be a good kind of preparatory thing, so she'd get an idea of the TDI.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Well,
thanks,
have a good afternoon,
thanks for
everybody.
The call.
Thanks for calling. See you tomorrow night.
Yes.
And to wrap up here, those acronyms, TDI and CGI.
CGC.
Sorry.
The CGC is a canine good citizen test that we use as a graduation test, and a lot of clubs and trainers use. And CGC is a certificate given by the AKC. TDI is
Therapy Dog International.
Okay.
And it is an organization.
I knew Lisa wasn't TDI anymore, but that I didn't want to go into all that. But it's, if they go to our website, they'll see all that.
Okay. And you probably could also put into your browser Therapy Dog International.
Sure. Yeah. And the CGC information is on our website as well. And it also not only is... I don't like to think of it as graduation, but I know what you mean. But it's also, in our organization, somewhat of a requirement to continue on to the more advanced classes.
Are there spacemen in here?
What's no, that is my cell phone.
It's okay.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap up here. And I will look forward to seeing you in April.
No fooling.
How about that?
Oh, what
no
day
fooling.
Is that?
I don't know. First Friday of April.
Wow. So. We know it's not April 1st, so.
Well, thanks for coming in this
Thank you, Celeste.
This month, and always good to see you.
It's always good to see you.
Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training.